In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem. Okay, neither the devil nor the gremlins in the sound system will prevent the reading of God's word and the hearing of it by his people. Amen? Man. Let's start over. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. This is such a wonderful story, such a powerful story. It's one of those kind of stories that when you hear it again, and many of us, most of us could say we've heard this story before, we've heard it again and again and again, and each time on hearing this story, you feel warm and you feel blessed, and you look forward to the cadence of the words. It's kind of like Psalm 23. It also functions that way in the hearts of God's people. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You could just keep going and you could almost sing the words even as you speak them. If you're watching TV and you're watching the Charlie Brown Christmas special, there's that point where Linus stands on the stage and the words come out of him of Luke chapter 2, and he tells that story. I've never been able to hear that without sitting almost spellbound at just the beauty of the words. It's not just the way that the voice actor, whoever is playing that part, said those words. It is the words themselves. They are charged and they are beautiful. Sometimes I wonder, though, if this Christmas story, so beautiful and so powerful, is maybe a little bit too familiar to us. It's the kind of story that you can take for granted. That you hear it, you love it, you say, that's a great story. I love to hear someone read it. I love to watch, even on TV, when it's shared. But after hearing it, you say, Merry Christmas, and you move on. The feast gets eaten, the presents get opened, and then people go home, and life begins. I wonder if this story has not become so familiar that we stop noticing how strange this story of Christmas is. How unexpected, almost counterintuitive it has become, and indeed is. Because who would have thought, really, think about it, who would have thought that God is God. God is big and powerful and majestic. God has the power to bring all this stuff that we see and the whole world and the whole cosmos, all the stars and the galaxies and the black holes and all that stuff. God had the power to just say it into being, just say the word and things appear. Out of his creativity and out of his majesty, things just happen. Yet he cares. The story of Christmas is the story of care. That God, in all of that mind-blowing power, cares for poor forked creatures such as ourselves. He cares so much, this story says, that he would tear his own son from his side and send him to earth. He says, leave me, my son. Go away from me for the sake of that planet. For the sake of those people. Go. And why did God do that? That's the question that I had as I was studying and thinking about this beautiful story. Why didn't he just say, I'm just going to take a big eraser and I'm going to erase this world that I've created, that defied me, that abandoned me, that rejected me. I'm just going to take them out and I'm going to start over, start fresh, rip out the page of that notebook and start writing a new composition. He didn't. Why didn't God say, I'm just going to be alone in all of my perfection and not mess around with imperfect image bearers like these people down there? It's curious. Who would have thought that if God decided that He did want to send His Son to the world, He did want to have Him go on a journey that would be about reconciliation and hope and peace and renewal and all that, who would have thought that He would send Him to the most obscure part of the world that He created, would send Him to be born to a young woman who was the most insignificant of all the ladies in that insignificant part of the world? He went to Galilee, to Nazareth. Why didn't He say, I'm going to send my Son to be born to a virgin member of King Herod's household, so that he'll be in place to be trained to be a king? Why didn't He say, I'm going to go to the chief priest in Jerusalem, and I'm going to find the virgin daughter of one of the daughters of that chief priest, and that person will be given the Savior of the world to nurture, so that the king who's going to be the leader of God's people will know what it means to be a religious leader? Didn't happen. Why Mary? Nazareth was where the hillbillies of Israel lived. They were not well esteemed even by Jewish standards. It was the ultimate backwater. But Jesus came. And then we read in our story about shepherds. Why in the world would angels come from the very throne room of God, the very presence of God, and they had a story to tell, they had news to share, an announcement to make, and they came to earth and they appeared to shepherds? Not the reporters of the Jerusalem Spectator. Didn't go there. They could have spread the word. They had the connections, didn't they? Didn't show up before the priests in front of the temple that were standing at the altar saying, good news! You're offering the sacrifices? The one who has come who is going to be the ultimate priest and the perfect sacrifice Himself. You should know this. Didn't come to them. Went to shepherds. Didn't go to the mayor of Bethlehem. Shepherds. When we think of shepherds, we actually have a pretty good feeling about shepherds. It doesn't seem weird to us that angels would come and announce the news of Jesus to them. We say, well, Jesus is the good shepherd. How perfect that shepherds are the one that hear the news. Shepherds are caring. Shepherds nurture the little sheep. They help them. They keep them safe. They guide them and protect them from all the dangers. King David himself was a shepherd. How perfect to announce it to shepherds. But what we miss is the fact that the attitude in that culture at that time had totally changed about shepherds. But then again, God is always doing unexpected things. He chooses the youngest instead of the oldest. He chooses the foreigner instead of the native-born. He chooses the obscure rather than the prominent. Well, shepherds are kind of like that. They are not respected and they are not appreciated members of society. At that time, shepherds were the people who skulked around in the hills in the dark. If you were gone and someone broke into your house, you would think, I bet you it was those shepherds. Who do you think are the most immoral people in our society? Clearly, the shepherds. I mean, they're the people, you don't know what they're doing out there, but you can't trust them at all. In Jesus' day, you were not allowed to buy wool or meat or anything from a shepherd because it was assumed automatically that if a shepherd was trying to sell it, it was stolen property. If you had to go to court, a shepherd was not allowed, get this, a shepherd was not allowed to give testimony in court because it was assumed that they were immoral, untrustworthy, and probably a bunch of liars. It was assumed that. So isn't it interesting then that who did the angels go to? They went to the shepherds and gave them the news and gave them the responsibility to share the news. When society would say, those are the last people on earth that you should be telling anything important, because when you go out and tell it, no one is going to believe you. Go to somebody that's trustworthy. Go with somebody that has standing or respect. But the way that God works is always to go where He's not expected and to use people whom no one else would anticipate that He would. The shepherds were given the news, a child has been born. The promises of God are being fulfilled. We have seen Him, and therefore there is hope, there is expectation, and there is the guarantee of peace. The message of the prophets, clearly heard, faithfully communicated, was received with amazement by the people of Bethlehem. And you got to wonder, why were people amazed? I think that they were amazed that these shepherds who usually stayed out on the margins were brought in and were speaking. They knew that no one would believe them. They knew that what people thought about them. But even though, they said, we're probably not going to have the impact that we wish we could have, still they went. And they went into the town and he says, wake up, hear this. It's true, it's come. We have, as a people, been waiting, and the Lord has been faithful, and here is the Messiah. The child is born. The King has come. These shepherds must have been amazing people. Even if you notice that what they said, here these angels come, they appear. And everybody in the whole Bible that ever sees an angel is freaked out. The first thing the angel says is, don't be afraid, because angels are not, you know, little cherubs, little babies with wings flapping around. The angels are shown to be soldiers, warriors of God, armed and dangerous. And the shepherds see this army of angels in all their glory and all their might and all their power, and they're told this amazing message, and they say, not, what in the world is this all about? Not, can this be for real? Not, how can I go hide from these angels? Instead, they say, let's go. Let's see. The Lord has spoken. These men, marginalized men, were given the privilege of hearing the message, the privilege of seeing the Christ born on earth.
and being told that it meant peace, that it meant hope.
I love these shepherds because we are the shepherds. Who are we that anyone would listen to what we say? We are not the powerful. We are not the influential. We are the people. And we have been given a message through the Word and by the Spirit of God. We hear the message of the angels. And through the Word and by the Holy Spirit, we see the King, the newborn King. And like the shepherds, in obedience to the Word, and again by the Holy Spirit of God, we can share the good news of great joy for all the people that the Savior of the world has been born, and He is Christ the Lord. I hope for these shepherds that the experience of angels speaking to them and God using them to share the message lets them know something also about themselves. That in the eyes of God, they are not unworthy to speak. That they were inadequate to be witnesses to the joy of Christ's coming. We can be shepherds. Tellers of the truth, the glorious truth that Christ has come, that hope is ours, that peace can be found, that it is just as we have been told. Because that's what it's about. It's about God coming here. It's about Christ being born to us. It's about us having hope. And it's about the world hearing the good news of salvation, which is for all the people. God bless you on this Christmas day. And God bless you as you continue to behold the King and walk with the King and speak for the King and bless the community God has put you in. Amen.